Metallica, here they come, the kings of metal!
Hey, this is Avi from Goodnight, Texas, and you are listening to Metal Up Your Podcast.
Welcome to Mail Up Your Podcast. I'm Ethan Luck.
And I'm Clint Wells.
This is episode 252, and this is, for the first time ever, a week in the life of Metal Up Your Podcast.
Well, we've had a lot going on. We had a busy week.
We did.
And I figured it would be a fun episode and a neat shirt to have.
Definitely a neat
shirt to have. To recap kind of an amazing week that we had.
It really was an incredible week. A lot of things happened. Some things planned, some things very last minute. Impromptu hangs. It almost felt like we were on tour. So many things happened.
We were on tour at home.
We're on tour at home and it's been slightly out of town.
Being on tour at home just means like I just get to be at home but not wash my underwear.
Exactly, yeah.
My wife loves, by the way.
Oh, all wives.
That's actually how we met 15 years ago on Craigslist, was an ad for that.
Yeah. Man seeking woman must be cool with dirty underwear.
Man all seeks the time. Woman who seeks man without washing underpants and
undergarments.
Surprisingly, much like James and Lars, you know, on that fateful day in the recycler, two worlds collided that day and history was made. So
exactly, yeah.
I'm not knocking that. So let's get rid of some, oh my goodness.
Let's get rid of it.
Let's get through some of this housekeeping.
Someone was like, oh my God, they're getting rid of housekeeping.
Thank God.
Thank the Lord.
I think we actually weeded a lot of that out.
And 100%.
Most of the people that are still with us, and all the new folks, they like it. They like this part.
Well, listen, I mean, we have been doing the same format for almost 5 years. We're really close to 5 years. So yeah, we've either weeded them out or people finally discovered the skip ahead button.
It's a real good problem to have, I'll tell you that, because I have other friends who do podcasts and they're like, no one ever writes into my show. I ask them to.
Yeah.
I almost beg them to.
Yeah.
And yet they don't. And I want to say, well, that's because no one's listening to it, man.
That's because no one likes you.
People like these people.
Well, and listen, for Metal Up Your Podcast, we're good enough, we're smart enough,
and doggone it,
people like us.
What was that guy's name?
Stuart Smalley.
Stuart Smalley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Al Franken.
Al Franken, yeah.
May he rest in canceled peace.
He's been back.
Oh, has he come back?
Yeah, yeah. He's not in politics anymore, but he's back.
All right. Okay. Back from canceled jail?
I think so, yeah.
Right.
I think he got on probation or something.
Okay.
He got bailed out.
He still has to occasionally pee in a cup.
Exactly.
Okay. We're going to cover kind of what's been happening in the news in the meat of the episode. So we're going to skip that and go right onto the Patreon train. A lot of new patrons. So we want to say thanks to them. Of course, you get all sorts of perks over there. You know, we're going to hear from a guy, the Metal Tales for Night 2 is the guy who actually got the Louder Than Life bracelets that we gave away.
Awesome.
And you get all the MP3s and the wave files.
You just go to mp3.com and download them.
You get all the EPs we've made, and you know, we're giving away the deluxe Black Album box set and all that stuff. And you also get to come on for Metal Tales. So we want to at least say thanks to Paul Lovegrove, Alan Brody, Charles Price, Jason Kramer, Gucciano getting it. And then these two are some of my favorites.
Oh yeah.
One's called Your Favorite Coaster Sucks.
Love it.
And one's called My Name Is Inigo Montoya, You Killed My Boner, Prepare to Die.
Amazing.
Which is from The Princess Bride.
Of course, yeah.
Of course, boner was added for comedic effect.
Yeah, that was not in the actual movie.
I believe in the actual movie, it's erection.
It's erection. It's more medically correct, yeah.
We're on all the socials. You know the deal.
You know the deal, honeys.
I'm going to maybe, if we make it to year 5, which I think we will, unless the sun explodes or something, some other unforeseen cosmic event, I think let's do a whole year without mentioning the socials.
I think at this point people know.
Yeah.
Even if you're a new listener and you've hopped on this ride with us, there's a good chance that you're on one of the social media platforms. And if you're not, why do you need to know anyways?
What if we get like new listeners next year and they're like, why didn't you tell us for an entire year that you had socials?
Yeah, like you guys were on Instagram?
We could have been following you on Instagram the whole time. All right, this is one of my favorite parts of the show that we do. And this is a little thing called the email corner. You can write in metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com. We love keeping up with everybody. We're going to hear from some people who went to the first ever Metal Up Your Podcast. Is it the first ever podcast official podcast party in which the hosts were not there?
Correct.
Has that ever happened before?
No, that's not happened. I mean, we've had people meet up at Metallic shows and hang out together, but not like an official party where there was giveaways and a ton of our listeners were there. Yeah
so we're going to hear from several people who are at the parties, and I love hearing from everybody out there. And that's what we're going to do now. So let's check it out.
Let's do it. All right. Our first email is from our good friend Namarta. She says, first off, thank you for this podcast and the community that grew from it. These people are wonderful, beautiful, and kind souls. Shout out to Birdo, Matt Bird, for being a crazy motherfucker and the highlight of the weekend.
Wow.
That's amazing. We have not met Birdo in person, only on the Discord. Now that we got those pleasantries out of the way, that was a fucking amazing weekend. We were certainly nervous about the party being a success. This is the in-between party, of course, from Louder Than Life. The bar looked too small to accommodate everyone at first, but as people started flowing in, it was clear that we're all there for one reason.
Can I just say here, can I pause?
Please.
I knew it would be a great success.
Me too.
I never doubted it.
You know what that's called? You know you have to do, everybody? Have a little faith.
Not only got to have a little faith, but you got to do a little thing called keep the faith.
I mean,
because it's one thing to have it.
I mean, John Bon Jovi told us that a long time ago.
You could have it, but if you have like a hole in your pocket, you could lose it. Right. And so having it's half the battle. Keeping it, very important second step.
Find it, harness
it,
have it, and keep it.
Keep it. Yeah. I want a t-shirt that says that. Find it, have it, keep it.
I think our listeners know what to do now. So Marta says one of the clear reasons to be there was to win a Let It Burn vinyl.
Oh, I paused a joke. That's a joke. She says, as people started flowing in, it was clear we were all there for one reason, to win Let It Burn on vinyl.
Exactly.
Shit, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's fine. I still think it's funny. Well, and of course, there was Lunar Satan vinyl. And by the way, thanks to Van, one of our listeners on the Discord, who met up with me the day before. As he was driving to Louisville, I met up with him in a parking lot and handed him some Let It Burn vinyl to give away with Lunar Satan vinyl.
Sounds kind of like a handshake drug deal, too.
Well, what's funny is when he pulled next to me in the parking lot, my window's down, I looked over and I go, and I said it loudly for people in the parking lot to hear. I said, yo, I got the stuff. I thought that was fun.
Kind of a Rocky vibe there at the top.
Hey, yo.
Yo.
Hey, yo, I got the stuff.
I got the black tar.
Hey, yo, Apollo. And then someone looked like Adrian and went, you can't win. Anyways, she goes on to say, but really, the people made the party, and thank you to everyone who showed up. All I have to say about Sunday's show is, wow. Harry and I had an amazing time and has definitely been converted into a Met fan. His top songs from last night were Rome and Creep. He's already ready for more Metallica content. Might start with live concerts to keep the momentum going. Here are basking in the after show glow. We certainly felt Louder Than Life this weekend. Much love, Namarta.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear all that. I'm glad to hear that Harry's on board now. A live show will transform a lot of people.
Absolutely.
You can bypass a lot of energy spent trying to convince someone of the power of a band by just simply taking them to a show.
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm glad that happened. Zach Lewis says, hey, brothers. Over the past week, I've experienced some seriously amazing stuff on my journey of enjoying Metallica. It all started Monday when I logged on to the forum and saw a curious topic regarding Chicago. Seeing as my apartment's about a mile and a half from the metro, I got down there ASAP, and I was successful in getting a wristband. And after many years of being on the ride, got to attend my first Metallica show. His first Metallica show was them at the metro.
Insane.
Whoa.
What a way to start, man.
Pretty high bar.
Yeah. Very.
Literally any show after that, he's like, there are too many people here. This is really crowded.
Yeah, I thought they were like a club band.
He says, backstory, I missed Metallica at Soldier Field in 2017 on the World Wired Tour, and I was really upset. So I joined the forums in 2018, as well as Metal Up, and vowed I would never miss another Chicago show. Well, boy, was I right.
Yeah, you were.
He says, I saw all the excitement around Louder Than Life happening, so I talked with my wife about trying to squeeze a small trip to Louisville in, but there was no way we could swing it in the budget at the moment, mainly due to the cost of the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you cue Metal Up Your Podcast Angels. It's floating in the firmament. And here we come. He says, I'd happened to post something to that effect on the forums, and amazingly, Now, MARTA reached out and said, hey, we've got two extra Sunday tickets for Louder Than Life, courtesy of Metal Up Your Podcast.
Boom.
I was like, oh my God, I just joined the Patreon. So we arranged to get down to Louisville and had an absolute blast at the Partay, which we're going to hear all about it from him today.
Yeah.
All this to say, truly, not true anonly, thank you so much. Thank you, first of all, for letting us take the Sunday wristbands, as I'm now getting to attend my second Metallica. So I guess at the time of writing this, he had not seen the show yet. It's his second Metallica show, his wife's first, so I'm interested to hear what her thoughts were.
Right.
Coincidentally, my wife and I both won raffle prizes at the party. I won a Quebec Magnetic DVD, and she won a Rome Guy shirt. So thank you guys for offering up prizes for attendees. Thank you for harboring such a fantastic community of people. My wife and I were both a bit nervous about meeting everyone, but it honestly felt like hanging with old friends. And I'm upping my Patreon amount again because you guys absolutely deserve it.
Thank you.
He says, also, as embarrassing as this is to admit, Let It Burn got me into reggae.
My God, I love this email.
I deep dived to dub and roots reggae hard, all caps, after discovering this record, and it's such a bop.
That's the first time I've heard that, and I appreciate it.
He says, all right, gents, I'm up way too early the day after the party because my body knows I'm going to see the Mighty Metallica in about 12 hours from the time of writing. Much love from Chicago, Illinois, New Jersey, Zach Dole Whip.
You know what there is a lot of in that email?
Good sauce?
Keeping the faith.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's what Zach knows. Zach knows that to merely acquire the faith, someone could have just given it to you.
Right.
They, you know, that someone could have passed it along to you in a handshake deal in a parking lot.
Yeah.
By a guy who, quote unquote, has the stuff.
Has the stuff.
But here's the thing, man. Life's busy. Life's crazy. And you could easily misplace that faith.
Yeah.
You could leave it in your coat pocket and take that coat to the dry cleaners. Boom. Yeah. Gone.
See ya.
You could leave it on the counter at the deli when you're getting some corned beef hash. Boom. Right. Gone.
See ya.
You know, there's all sorts of ways. You could accidentally drop it while you're mowing the lawn and mow over it with your goddamn new John Deere lawnmower. Boom. Gone.
Shredded.
So he knows that he needs to keep it also.
He kept it, man, all weekend.
Do we have a third thing? Oh, no. We need a fourth thing because I think there's another thing.
Okay.
Sharing it.
Dude.
So you have to have the faith, keep the faith. Wait, did we already forget what the order is here?
Find the faith.
Find faith. Keep, have faith.
Have faith.
Keep faith. Share faith.
Share faith.
Those are the four stages.
It's the four stages of faith keeping from Metal Up Your Podcast.
And if you only got three out of four, I mean, look, that's not a bad ratio.
No.
But that's not a complete mission.
No, I mean, you know, the Voltron lions or tigers or whatever are great on their own,
right?
But one formed together,
it's like
unstoppable.
It's like the Blob. Remember the Blob?
Yeah.
You could take a little bit of Blob, put it in a jar, and it'll grow into another Blob.
Right.
That's what faith's like. So what you got to do is you got to cultivate your faith. You got to water it. You got to give it some sunlight. And then when you have enough to share, you can't give your own faith away because you need it. It's like what they tell parents on airplanes. They're like, in the case of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on before you help someone, your child, put their mask on.
Right.
Because you can't help your kid if you die.
Exactly.
You have to be alive to do that.
Exactly.
Much like that with faith, you have to have your own faith and it has to be strong,
mm-hmm,
before you can start just giving it away. Some people are too generous and they give away all their faith, but then they don't have any faith left.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to give away too much, you know, just little bits at a time because that person's faith will grow, much like the Blob.
When is our seminar? Are we doing like a weekend?
I think we have a TED Talk happening, a faith TED Talk at Bridgestone Arena coming up.
Good.
Here in Nashville. But anyways, thanks for writing in, Zach. We're glad you enjoyed the show and got the tickets. Dave Farrar writes in and says, what's up, brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Just got home from Louisville and wanted to reach out to you guys and thank you for creating such an awesome community. I got to meet so many members of Melody Podcast family, and Amarta, Harry, Anthony Gonzalez, you might mean Angelo, or Anthony, who knows? I have faith that there's two of them. Mike Fell, Anthony Beerham, Ralph Savetto, Birdo, and even a couple people that are in the legacy group I'm in on Facebook that showed up to the party for Saturday night. I'm probably forgetting some people, and if so, I'm sorry. Watching this band that we love so much with so many awesome people and watching such a kick-ass set on Sunday night has raised the bar for me to what a Metallica show should be. We've all heard James say Metallica is family, and while this is definitely true, I've never felt that quite like this past weekend. The only way it could have been better is if you guys have been there. Well, I wish we could have been there, of course. I'm super glad we were all able to briefly say hello on FaceTime at least, but we'll hopefully get to fix that in December. Thank you guys. Metal Podcast for life. Dave Ferraro. Well, thanks, dude. I'm glad you had a great time.
Well, he also says where he's from.
Of course. Excuse me. Boston, Massachusetts, New Jersey.
There we go. We don't want to let a New Jersey joke slide past.
Never.
When you guys were FaceTiming, me and Johnny Sword, our bass player, were doing our impromptu set at the hotel bar.
You were, yeah, doing some Tom Petty.
We're doing some Tom Petty.
Yeah.
And, well, cool.
It was pretty awesome.
I'm glad that Anthony Gonzalez got to be there and meet everybody.
Dude, Anthony Gonzalez, I mean.
Poor Angelo, but Anthony's nice, though, I
could have sworn Angelo was there, but I guess not. I mean.
Here's Van. This is another email from someone who was there. He says, hey, guys, great episode on Holier. This is the aforementioned contraband parking lot guy.
Yeah, this is I had the exchange with.
Great episode on Holier Than Thou. I'm not the first to say it, but the musical knowledge you guys have and the work you put in the episodes like the Deep Cut Dives are some of the reasons Metal Up Your Podcast is one of the best podcasts around. Thank you, dude.
Thank you.
Months ago, I became a patron and sent my first email talking about how the pandemic concert cancellations made me miss what would have been my first Metallica concert in 2020. Now I'm writing to you again, having seen the boys in Louisville at Louder Than Life Night 1. It was a tremendous show. I've read countless descriptions of shows and watched all the videos. Some people talked about how Ecstasy of Gold gets them psyched up or even sends them into euphoria. For me, it was a quiet, peaceful moment when I heard those opening notes. It was as if a heavy backpack full of stress I didn't know I was wearing was suddenly lifted away. My voice joined the crowd in the wordless melody and felt as though my feet were going to leave the ground. And moments later came the heavy metal thunder.
Mm.
I was also super happy to be able to share this weekend with the Metal Up Your Podcast family. Although I wasn't at the Night Between party, I still feel a kinship with everyone. And I did get to meet Anthony Broom, Mike D, and Stan Pearl, who has become a good friend to me this year. Thank you both for the community you've created. I hope it's just the beginning of a long journey. On I burn, Van.
Real quick, Mike D from the Beastie Boys was there? Amazing.
Well, I heard Mike D was there, and incredibly also heard Chuck D was there.
Anyone with the last name D?
Yeah, there was a memo. There was a, I guess they're all in like a Facebook group.
Yeah.
And it went around. It was like anyone with the last name just happens to be the letter D. Doesn't matter what walk of life you're from.
Yeah.
Doesn't even matter if you're alive or deceased.
Right.
You have been cordially invited to hang out with Van.
Now, I was in the room with Mike D and Chuck D, I would lose my mind.
You might make a doo-dee.
I might make a doo-doo. But it's fine because all my underwear is dirty anyways, I guess.
Totally. Well, you're a touring musician. What's it going to be? Clean?
What's that? Thanks, Van. Next email is from Scott. What's up, guys? I've been a diehard Metallica fan for about 23 years, and I found your podcast 2 months ago. I binged 65 episodes in preparation for the Louder Than Life Festival with Metallica playing tonight and the Black Album in its entirety. It's been amazing learning new facts about each album/song from you guys, and I feel like I'm just hanging out with friends, talking music while listening. Thanks for the laughs, and I'd love to chat about the Louder Than Life Festival sometime. P.S. Demon Hunter rocks, too.
Demon Hunter rocks!
From Scott. Thanks, man. I'm glad you enjoy the two records I was on.
We had quite the week of people recognizing you as a famous guy.
Well, we can get into that.
I'm sure you would love to. I'm sure you can't wait. I always think when people say they listen to 65 episodes of us in a row, what do you think about that? How does that make you feel? That's a lot of time, dude.
That's a lot of time. Now, if it's one of those things where, you know, let's say you got a lengthy commute to work on a train.
Well, I mean, let's say you're an ice truck driver or what do they call it?
You're an ice road trucker.
An ice road trucker.
If you got a lot of time in a truck, if you're a semi-truck driver, I mean, binging episodes on any podcast is, you know, a good way to kill the time, pass the time. So, but it sounds overwhelming to me only because we've already done all these.
Yeah.
Now to go back and re-listen to everything, I guess it depends on the show. If you're into something like Metallica, then maybe binging our show is for you. But you know, I will say,
I just mean specifically, like, how are you spiritually processing the fact that people listen to us that often? That's a lot of people listening to you talk about Creeping Death.
It's really cool. It's humbling. But to me, I've explained this to a lot of friends before. Doing a podcast and gaining popularity in that podcast, having fans and things like that, it's very much similar to being in a band.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of that same feeling when you meet a fan of your band on the road and they're like, I own all your records and I listen to them all the time and this song means this and stuff. It's, you know, it's cool. It's
like being in a Norwegian metal band.
Exactly.
Where we live in the woods and
we just have black and white face paint.
We live in the woods and we live in our parents' basement.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Feels like that in winter.
That's what I've actually tried to do in the studio is to actually turn my studio into my parents' basement where I used to live. Although, granted, when I was a kid.
You're getting close. I mean, the kids' toys are a little weird over here, even though, you know, you have a daughter.
Well, I was a big Marilyn Manson fan. What can I say? Yeah. All right. Next email. Our last email, actually, from Patrick. He says, "What's up, Ethan and Clint? We're about to tell you what's been up, dude."
Yeah, you ready?
We're about to give you a goddamn earful of what we've been up to.
And until then, man, have a little faith.
And keep it. And cultivate it.
And harness it.
And share it.
Share it.
All right. He says, "I've been listening to the podcast for about 3 years now, but just recently decided to finally jump on the Patreon train. Thank you. Been listening to Metallica for about 10 years, and I have a few friends that are Metallica fans, but none of them share the same enthusiasm in the band as I do. Just wanted to say that it is amazing that you guys have managed to create a community where I can hear other like-minded fans share stories and experiences about our favorite band, the one and only Metallica. It's awesome to hear you guys talk about my favorite band and come up with so many interesting topics and bring on so many great guests wherever I, wherever I listen to the podcast, I feel like I'm always learning something new about a band I thought I already knew so much about. By the way, I have Lunar Satan and Let It Burn on vinyl. They're both fantastic. Keep up the good work. Recently, I've been binging the Metal Tales episodes, and I love hearing the experiences from other members of the Metallica family. I've had the opportunity to see Metallica 4 times, the first time being at Night 2 of Orion Fest back in 2012 when they played the Black Album in its entirety. It was such an unforgettable night, and it's great hearing other fans express the same feelings about seeing our favorite band live. Anyways, I'll wrap it up by saying thank you guys for creating the coolest podcast out there. Wish you both nothing but the best and have fun always, brothers. Sincerely, Patrick Roke from New Jersey. P.S. Tell Dave Mustaine, the Joyces, Paul, and everyone at the Metal Up Your Podcast family, I said, hey, yeah.
What's going on?
I'll tell you, speaking of Paul, I've known this about him. I haven't done as many sessions as you have with him, but okay. One of his favorite things to burst into when we're all like needing a little moment of levity is he'll play that Four Non Blondes song.
Yeah.
He plays it a lot.
I love that song.
I love the song so much. It's just funny that he plays it.
I remember when that song came out and I was just like, it was so much different than a lot of things were coming out at the time. And I remember just loving it. And when it comes on the radio now, I jam it, man.
I crank it.
I turn that shit up.
It's one of those great songs that never changes chords.
Yeah.
If you can have a song that the verse feels completely distinct from the chorus, but it's the same chords.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, you've really hit it out of the park melodically.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, without thinking about it, would you have guessed that that song just is the same 3 chords the whole time?
I did. When it first came out, I was already a musician and playing guitar and stuff like that, but I don't know if I actually noticed that. I remember being really attracted to the lead parts, real simple.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
I remember really digging that.
I just like a song that where the lyric is, I said, hey, and it's just, hey, 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 hey.
I mean, there's so many songs out there that have been successful that don't really have words to a chorus or very minimal.
Yeah.
Like Lithium.
Yeah.
Is yeah.
Just yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Offspring, Self-Esteem has another one of those. Way, oh, yeah, yeah, whoa. Actually, me and Johnny Sword were having a little boys' day out yesterday running some musical errands.
Nice.
Getting ready for tour. And I don't think he would mind me saying it, but he's a huge Candlebox fan. And he knows.
Okay.
But he's self-aware. He knows that Johnny's got great taste in music.
He really does, yeah.
And he's deep as hell. So, and he's real, you know, he's like me with Dave Matthews. He's not worried about
it. All of our listeners might get to meet Johnny Sword. We're going to be doing the podcast from the road. There's a good chance.
Well, let me just say this.
He might dip in on an episode.
Well, let me just say this. They better pray that they get to meet him because he's a delight.
He is an afternoon delight.
But he's a big Candlebox fan.
Yeah.
And he's like tight with some of the Candlebox guys.
Amazing.
Because he grew up as a super fan, kind of like Jay Weinberg with Slipknot.
I mean, that was my... Wait, does this mean Johnny Torres is going to end up playing bass for them?
I mean, he could.
I mean, that was my first arena show was Rush with Candlebox opening.
Well, we were getting a pretty big kick out of... You know, their big song was called Far Behind.
Oh, yeah.
And
You was the other big
You
single.
And Cover Me.
Yeah.
If we want to name all the singles from that first album. But, The end of Far Behind has kind of an ad libby vocal thing where he does a lot of no 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 yes.
Yeah.
Which,
no 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 yeah. No no yeah.
But it's with yeah. Like I just yeah. love the yeah 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 no because that's my fake phone call thing. You yeah. ever take a fake phone call?
Yeah yeah no. Yeah yeah no.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do. Yeah 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 yeah. Yeah. No 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 no. And then you could throw in a couple of like what time?
Yeah.
Well what time? No no no. Yeah yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Just a lot
oh,
of yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
soon.
It's just funny. It's funny because they're opposite things to say, yes and no.
I know. I mean, I have friends.
No,
that,
no, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no. No, 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 yeah. And it's also one of those things that, you know, I have friends that still do this where you'll ask them a question like, oh, man, so I heard that tour wasn't that fun or whatever. Yeah, no. you have friends that do that?
Yeah. You'll
notice it more now that we've mentioned it.
Thank you for all the emails, everybody. Really appreciate it. MetalUpYourPodcastShow@gmail.com. You never know what can happen in the emails. You could go off on a tangent about Candlebox like that. I just snapped my fingers. I don't know. You know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Yeah, 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 no. Let's get into the week in the life of Metal Up Your Podcast.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, here we are to regale you all with what our life is like. Because this is also, there's some amazing things happened this week.
Yeah.
But it's also a pretty interesting window into sort of, I mean, not every week these types of events happen, but this is what our life is like.
It's true.
So perhaps we start at the beginning?
We should. I mean, and to quote the great Forrest Gump, I mean, life is like a box of chocolates. Mm-hmm. You never know what you're going to get. And this was very true this week. We knew a couple of the chocolates in the box.
As everyone does.
Right.
But you know there's going to be a little caramel in there.
But then we took a we went to taste another one and oh my God, there's something different here.
Yeah, you're not surprised that like there's chocolate in there. You sure. just don't know what's going to be inside.
Yeah.
And you know, you probably have had a few before. There's going to be some nougat in there.
Yeah, some nougat.
You know? The surprise really isn't so much what's possible, it's which one you're going to get in that moment.
The worst was always when my grandma had those growing up, like a box of, I don't know if you had See's Candy, that store in Birmingham, but mm-hmm. it'd be all the chocolates and you know, she would take the label thing out and throw it away or whatever. And I'd be like, oh, I'm going to have one of these. And I'd bite into it. It'd be something disgusting.
Yeah. You never want the one with like fruit in it. Or, like, what were the gross ones that had like strawberry in it? Which I like strawberries.
I don't mind that.
What were the gross ones?
I don't remember the specific flavors, but I remember just, or actually, you know, there was like certain nuts I didn't like, you know, like I love peanuts and almonds and stuff like that. But
Almonds.
But it'd be something weird. Like, I'm not a fan of,
cashews?
No, yeah, cashews are okay. Pecans.
Oh, really?
I know. It's crazy. I don't like pecans.
Well, you're not from the South.
No, I'm not.
We have a little thing that we procure down here called pecan pie. And oh, is it a delight, a delicious dessert for you to put down with a cup of coffee or a glass of milk.
See, I remember my grandma, even growing up in California, my grandma made pecan pie.
Yeah, never liked
over
it.
Over like Thanksgiving. She'd do that in a pumpkin pie. Now, pumpkin pie, love it.
I don't really get down with gourds.
No?
No.
Pumpkin pie, I'm down with that.
We delicata squash is like, it's pretty seasonal around here. And my wife, we roast it. And I honestly liked it until I realized it was a gourd. And then just knowing it was a gourd, it makes me sick to eat it. I have like this weird gourd aversion.
Okay.
And don't get me started on pumpkins, man.
Wow.
Like when we carve a pumpkin every year, I have to like actively not vomit.
it grosses you out.
It really, like the seeds.
Like pulling all like, that.
Yeah,
guts
it really
out.
Fucking grosses me out.
Interesting.
So like when people like pumpkin pie or like people like pumpkin shit in their coffee. I'm like,
oh. See, I'm not like a pumpkin spice latte. It's that season. Like, I mean, I went to, it is the season.
It sounds like you might be.
Well, no, the only reason I know that is because my wife works for the Starbucks Corporation. Mm-hmm. And not only that,
Starbucks Incorporated.
Not only that, I went to Trader Joe's the other day to grab a couple things and they do this massive display. It's like pumpkin everything.
Yeah.
And it really is. I had to walk by it to get some bread, and it was all...
People eat pumpkin bread.
Pumpkin bread, yeah.
So what do you like? You like pumpkin pie?
I like pumpkin pie.
You like the flavor of pumpkin?
Yeah, I like it, but not in everything.
Do you like squash?
I like squash skewered on the grill.
Yeah.
Tasty.
I can get down with that, too.
I'm not a fan of, like it has to be cooked real well.
Yeah.
I don't like it when it's still kind of extra squishy and stuff like that. It's like okra. Okra, I don't like when it's slimy.
I could eat all of the slimy, dude.
You're from the South.
Yeah, that's some Southern shit.
I didn't know what okra was until I started touring.
We go to the farmer's market over here, and it's a very like delicate season for okra. Mm-hmm. And the particular farmers that are always at the Donaldson farmer's market, I'm always like, when's that okra coming in, baby?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like the okra guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to buy all of it when they have it.
Oh, I love it. You got to try throw those on some skewers, man. A little oil, salt and pepper, grill that. Oh, man.
It's a really great snack, too. If you get okra, cut them up. And bake them,
mm-hmm.
or roast them, a little salt and pepper, maybe a little cayenne.
Yeah.
It was spicy. Super, super filling, super low calorie.
Yeah.
And a little slimy, but in a good way.
I mean,
listen. You want to stay away from the fried okra.
I mean,
which I love.
Of course. That's the first time I ever had it. It was fried. I went to this. It was outside Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
One of my old bands.
My old stomping grounds.
Old stomping grounds. I'll tell you what. In my ska band, our trombone player's wife is from Birmingham, and we were down there playing a show. So her family took us out to this little country road, like dinery kind of
mom. Like a meet and three?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And at the time, I had like, you know, a bit of a mohawk. I had it was definitely dyed red.
A bit of a mohawk.
It wasn't a full on mohawk. It had the inklings of a mohawk.
A bit and a piece of a mohawk. There's a cat at your back door wants to come in and be on the show.
Dude, this is the fucking forgotten street of abandoned cats, man. This is the street of black cats.
Well, listen, I'm an animal lover, and anytime I see a cat roaming, I'm like, yo, what's up? No, I don't want to take them home.
The one feeding them?
I'm not feeding them.
I have to ask my family. I'm like, you guys feeding these fucking cats? Because they love our house.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love your house. Who doesn't?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they just really like Metallica.
They're
big Morgan Wade fans.
They're Morgan Wade fans. They love Metallica and Dave Matthews Band, which we'll get into.
I do want to say this. So what did you get some, were people looking at you weird a la Easy Rider?
I mean, between that and like tattoos and stuff. And it was like, but I remember sitting down and they were like, hey, we're getting a bunch of fried okra for the table. And I look over and I was like, what did you say?
What'd you say to me?
Excuse me? They're like, fried okra. I'm like, what's okra? Like, you've never heard of it? I was like, I'm from Southern California. I grew up on Mexican food and Del Taco and In-N-Out Burger. Like, what's okra?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it existed in California. It was just not a common thing.
Yeah.
And they brought it out, and I thought, this is just how it's always made.
Yeah.
I don't know about grilling it or sauteing it maybe or whatever, baking it. And I'm like, okra is amazing.
Yeah.
But as we all know, you deep fry anything, it's going to be amazing.
Well, I only had it two ways growing up, was boiled and fried. And boiled is the super slimy version.
Very slimy, yes.
You know, the new health conscious last 15, 20 years. You bake it, you know.
But it tastes better, in my opinion.
Whew, it's hard to fuck with fried okra on the taste department.
As far as the non-fried ways to prepare
it. Oh, yeah. Baked and roasted?
Yeah,
that's totally the way to go, dude. I mean, we make roasted veggies almost every day.
And let me just tie this into Metallica. You could, you know, make your okra blackened.
I did want to... Nice work.
Thanks, man.
I did want to say, as much as I'm like anti-gourd, only in eating. After all, it's October 1st as of this recording, and this is my month, dude. This is
100%.
I can't get enough of Halloween, dark, evil, horror, witchcraft. I have a band called Lunar Satan, as you know.
I mean, dude, my birthday's in October. It's a special month.
So it's a special month, right? We're going to be celebrating it in New Jersey.
Wait, this is not a joke, everybody. We're not joking that everywhere is called New Jersey. Literally, I will be in New Jersey with Clint, Morgan Wade, and band.
So this is something that happened this week. So this is part of the week in the life of Metal Up Your Podcast. Bobby and Nan, I guess, submitted Lunar Satan to the Metal Injection website, has a podcast.
Okay.
And they do a segment called Thrash It or Trash It.
Ooh.
Where they listen to a song and they're like, they basically judge it. There's four hosts and you either get a thrash or a trash.
Interesting. Okay.
And he, on his own gumption, submitted my song. So I'm like,
okay.
And then he sends me an email. He's like, hey, by the way, that they reviewed your album. I'm like, great.
So they did the whole album or just
No, not the album, just the song. He submitted the song Blood Unto Blood.
Okay.
And, I got 3 out of 4, thrash.
Really?
So one guy trashed it, though.
Fuck him.
Almost all of them didn't like the vocals, except for the chick.
Because it's not metal. But that's cool. The girl liked it.
They listened to all the other songs were like hardcore.
Yeah. That kind of shit, yeah.
All their criticisms about my voice were things I like. They were like, you know, it's like kind of delicate and soft.
You're like, thank you.
And the chick who gets it, because she's smarter than those guys, was like, it's really airy. It feels like I'm floating. It's like, she got it that it's a vibe.
Man. That's cool.
No problem. I already hit her up and I'm like, hey, thank you for the kind words. I want to send you a vinyl.
Awesome. See what you see what happens, guys, on that podcast? When you say nice things, you get free stuff.
Well, I also told her, I was like, hey, I live in Nashville and like that's kind of a side project. I write country songs and I'm in a country band for a living. So I think within that context, Lunar Satan's pretty dope.
Absolutely.
But it was interesting hearing it like stand up on its own without anyone knowing the podcast or anything.
They're literally going,
okay, this is Bobby and Ann sent this in. This is Lunar Satan. The song's called Blood in the Blood. And then they just fire it up and you're just listening to them respond to it.
I got to listen to that.
It wasn't my favorite 5 minutes, even when they were saying nice things.
I mean, 3 out of 4, that's for something they've never heard in their life.
They thrashed it.
They
didn't trash it.
I'm going to send Let It Burn in.
Dude, you should send your instrumental like desert record in.
Hey, speaking of,
yeah,
as of this recording, my record is out today.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. The instrumental record is out there. You can also I'm just going to go and promote myself real quick before I move on.
Please do.
Why not?
Please do.
Honey, please. If you go to smlxlvinyl.com, you can pre-order the vinyl if you did not get involved in the Kickstarter. It's on every streaming service you can imagine. iTunes, ethanluck.bandcamp.com. It's everywhere. What can I say? I put it on the world. And you know what I'm doing? I'm having a little faith that the good people in Metal Pier Podcast Land are going to go stream it, download it, get a vinyl.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. Yeah. And that's all we can do. All we can do is make these little beautiful dreams mm-hmm. that we hear in our head.
Right.
And offer them to the world. And then we got to give them up. Then that's right. Then they belong to the world.
They're yours now. Go take it.
Remember,
it's out, man.
Remember the swan?
Yeah.
Remember this tale of the swan?
Tale of the swan.
What you want to do is carve away the bits of the ice that are not swan.
Carve away the bits of the statue that aren't David.
And that's all we could do.
Exactly. And now that we've carved things
much
like that,
Michelangelo's David.
David.
I mean, must we carve away from what is not his tiny penis?
Of course, yes, of course. Kindly remember that his tiny penis is not of our doing.
That's a tour joke that will be probably too hard to explain, but that's one of my favorite tour jokes.
That one's a bit of an inside one where it's pretty deep.
So let's talk about how the week started. So the week that we're sort of talking about really begins with the party, the Night Between party.
Right, yeah.
The night before, we had to get to Ashland, Kentucky. We were playing the Foxfire Festival.
Foxfire Festival, yeah.
Which ended up being one of our best shows.
Super fun.
We sent a video, but so the week in our world kind of begins with us having pretty serious FOMO that we couldn't be there.
Not only that, but I mean, it was even the drive to Ashland, Kentucky was a big fuck you, Ethan and Clint, because we got on Bluegrass Parkway, which is like maybe 15 miles south of Louisville.
So right, we were right by Louisville.
I opened my map at one point and I was like, oh, look, we're like right there.
Yeah.
We could cancel the show and make a left turn and go meet up, but we're professionals. We don't do that.
Right. Well, we drove the night before.
Right, right, right.
So we would have been a night before the party if we'd canceled. You mean like cancel the show Saturday?
I'm saying like, yeah, it was just a big tease to us to be that close to Louisville and not be able to go. That's where the extra case of FOMO.
Well, we talked about like maybe like getting done with our set and trying to get over there, but it was 3 hours away by where we were.
Yeah.
So we had to sort of live vicariously through the pictures, and you were on Discord getting updates.
I was getting some updates. Yeah, a couple people were texting me,
and I knew Edgar would be taking pictures. So, and I, you know, from everything that we've seen since then, it was a great success.
Great success, yeah. Yeah, man, I mean, you know, from the emails we read earlier to people on Discord commenting on all socials, everyone had fun always, man. That was the constant theme of the night. Mm-hmm. I kept checking in with Narmada and Angelo and how things were going, and it was just like, why do I keep asking?
You were like the correspondent. You guys are pros. Yeah. And I know they were a little anxious about it, but I had faith, and I kept the faith.
You know what it was? And I'm sure you can obviously relate to this more than I can because you're a father.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably like going on a date with your wife or husband, and it's the first time getting a babysitter.
Yeah, and you keep checking in.
Keep checking in. That's how I felt. Like, and not because I was worried. I just wanted it to be great and have everyone have a good, great time.
I actually did that with daycare, let alone a babysitter. When we first started sending her to daycare, I would call the daycare like every hour.
You're like, hey, I just dropped her off. I'm not even home yet. How's she doing?
I did that.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I did that. Well, because we didn't do daycare until a year after my daughter was born, and she had a lot of separation anxiety.
Yeah.
So dropping her off wasn't like she's jumping into a fucking foam pit having the time of her life. She was like screaming and
she's like breaking down
and thinking that her dad was leaving her
forever
and abandoning her. Yeah. But she didn't know.
Yeah.
The guy that's been with me every day of my life is leaving now with these strange people.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of empathy for that moment. I knew that was probably really scary for her.
Sure.
It made me sad. But you got to toughen. I mean, that's fucking life, baby.
Dude, I literally have a vivid memory of my parents when I was very young taking me to swimming lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still there, but there were so many parents there. And it was like in a YMCA or something. There were like these bleacher seats. And I hated it.
Yeah.
And they were trying to teach me how to like hold my breath underwater and would like dunk me. It was real gnarly like in the 80s.
Yeah. And things were, I mean, in the 80s also, they would do the whole like in the South, you would just throw a kid in.
Yeah, go for it.
Because they literally, that's how we all learn to swim.
Yeah.
They literally throw you in and don't save you.
Right.
your thing of like your parents were there and they were just sort of dunking you and like they were there holding you.
Yeah.
That sounds like heaven to me.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't my parents. It was like the instructors.
Right, but your parents were there.
They were there, but I had the same feeling like your daughter did where I thought they were gone.
Yeah.
And to add insult to injury,
mm-hmm.
and this is a true story, at one point, I was freaking out so much in the pool and my parents were like on the other side. I didn't know where they were, but they weren't in screaming distance. And they let me out of the pool. I'm freaking out, trying to find my parents. And these other couple comes over to like help me
mm-hmm.
and kidnapped me. I'm not joking. It was this couple that was there. I got kidnapped as a kid. It isn't look at Clint is losing right now. You did not expect that to come out of my mouth, did you? I never thought the next round of church giggles would be about me getting kidnapped as a child. Thank you. It's no joke. So that's why I wanted to chime in with that little nugget of Ethan Luck history.
Okay, hold on. Let me just process this, because I mean, it's one of my greatest fears as a parent. One sure. of the most horrible things ever. I just really was not expecting you to say that. You're like, first of all, being dunked was horrible, and it was crowded. Second of all, to make things worse, I was kidnapped.
It is like going from a level 4 to a level 10 pretty quick.
Well, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's clear away some time here and let's get into your kidnapping story. Jesus.
It didn't last long, thank God. I'm still here. Maybe my parents aren't my parents. I don't know. No, but really, I got the instructor like got let me out of the pool because I was freaking out so much. And this older couple, this is all from my parents told me and witnesses. This older couple came up and claimed to be my grandparents.
Oh, God damn.
For real. And walked me out into the parking lot. And I'm freaking out. Just like, I don't care who I'm with. Get me out of that fucking pool. Right? I didn't care. I mean, I had to have been pretty young, but I had.
So you have no memory of this. You were told this.
I still have a memory of being dunked and freaking out. The next part, I don't really remember because at that point, I was probably just in hysterics.
Yeah, you were traumatized. You were in shock.
My parents noticed this random couple walking me down this hallway between like the bleachers out to the parking lot. And they immediately like, who is that? They get security or whoever in the building. And by the time I got in the parking lot, they were about to put me in the trunk.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And there was a point a few years ago where I thought like, maybe that was some crazy dream I had. And then I asked my sister, like, do you remember this story? She's like, oh yeah. And then I asked my dad when he came to visit. I was like, am I going crazy? Was this a weird nightmare I had? He's like, no, that happened.
Whoa. He's like, what if those were your parents and the people you call your parents kidnapped you?
Maybe. It might explain a lot, actually.
Oh boy.
Isn't that crazy though?
Jesus, yes. Yeah. Well, that's, you know.
That took a hard left turn. Sorry about that, everybody.
I mean, Jesus, this is like a true crime podcast.
I'm glad I'm here.
I'm glad that they didn't. I mean, God knows what they were going to do with you.
Don't know.
That's, you know, culturally, people have kind of moved away a little bit from the stranger danger thing of the 90s, mm-hmm. which actually your experience sort of proves the stranger danger. I even told Nova this morning, we're always telling her, hey, don't tell people where we live or like what our pass, you know, she knows like my iPad password.
Right.
Yeah. She gets on my iPad all the time. And I'm like, don't tell people. She's learning that there's some information that you keep in your family.
Of course, yeah.
And that's, you know, kids have to learn that. They're like, what? Someone would want to hurt me, you know?
Yeah.
And I was telling her today, I was like, hey, you know, not all strangers are trying to hurt you, but you need to be really careful around strangers.
Of course.
Whereas I was told when I was a kid, you know, it was like total height of stranger danger. It was like all strangers are like serial killers.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think the precaution was I was told, don't talk to strangers.
Yeah.
Okay. So in your mind, you just assume anyone you don't know is a bad person.
Yeah.
You know, anybody.
Right.
So, I mean, I get it as a parent, you want to protect your kids. So yeah. Maybe err on the side of caution and be like, hey, just don't talk to any strangers. And
for sure. I mean, but the thing is like, you just have to like strike that balance of like living in fear of the world.
Sure.
Like most things you're afraid of just really are really unlikely to happen to you.
Yeah.
But no parent wants to be that one statistic where you're like the one out of 1,000 parents.
Yeah. I told her to be nice to strangers.
Whose kid gets put in a trunk by people at the YMCA.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gnarly, right?
That's pretty gnarly. I really don't even know how we got there. I don't know how to get back.
I don't really either. It had to do with the party and me checking in.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
On everybody, make sure things are going smoothly.
Much like a parent wants to check in, but you really ultimately got to let them spread their wings and fly. And that's what we did.
At a certain point, I let the updates come and I enjoyed them. And I was very grateful for everybody who helped out.
I think what's really cool about the party being such a success is that now there's like a framework for how to do it.
Yeah.
So anything.
You don't have to show up to any of them now. It's great. The parties will run themselves, apparently.
I mean, it is nice that we don't have to be there to make it work. We have tickets to Friday for the 40th anniversary shows, but we, you know, our schedules are crazy and it's a long flight to San Francisco.
Things change, yeah.
And the plan is for us to get there during the day Friday and throw a party that afternoon and then go to the show Friday and then we're going to come home.
Right away, yeah.
There's like an official like night between party for San Francisco, but we have a gig on the Sunday. So it's nice to know that should something come up with our touring schedule where we can't make it, that it could work.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that happened. We played one of our best shows that night in Ashland.
Yeah, it was great.
Now, this was actually kind of brutal. The next day, we had to drive back to Nashville to play Pilgrimage Festival.
Big festival down in Franklin, Tennessee, just about 30 minutes south of Nashville. Great festival.
So it's kind of our hometown, but it was a five-hour drive, and we had to be there pretty early.
10 a.m., I think we had to get there.
So we basically, it was a 4 a.m. lobby call. We didn't exactly go to bed super early the night before.
I remember earlier in the day when we went over to the catering area, there was a different building by the hotel to get some food. We came back, and at the backside of our hotel, there was this great hang area, a bunch of couches, a gas fire pit. It was awesome. And I remember saying something like, man, I wish I didn't get up so early. It'd be great to hang out here tonight.
And we just did it
and
anyway.
Then it was like, oh, we can go out there for like, let's go have a beer and chill there. And then like six beers later, we're like, fuck.
Six beers later, we'd commandeered the cover band area and Johnny Sword was doing a little set. I was singing harmonies with some Tom Petty.
Right, yeah.
And getting in bed was nowhere in sight.
No, it was not. And I mean, it was a great show and a good fun hang that I couldn't fall asleep super early and paid for it at 4 a.m.
That was brutal. So we drove the 5 hours home. We did our, so at a festival that big, so the big thing for this day is that the headliner is Dave Matthews Band.
Clint's been talking about this ever since the show was booked.
I've been talking about it because they're one of my favorite bands, as everybody knows, and I haven't seen them in 21 years because I've been on the road.
Right.
Now, I was kind of off the ride from about 2005 to 2012-ish, kind of similar time frame to Metallica.
Sure.
Dave Matthews Band put out an album that I kind of considered, I didn't understand it at the time,
yeah,
and I was ready to move on, called Stand Up.
Mm-hmm.
I since really actually love the album.
Right.
It's, me and Dan Kanter talk about it. It's really kind of more of a Dave solo album, and that's actually why it wasn't resonating at the time. It's like, it's very much like Dave came and played all the songs they overdubbed around it.
Right.
Rather than what they're kind of known for is like this really organic, everything grew out of jams and shit.
Sure.
Even when I was on the ride, though, I didn't get, the last time I saw them was 2000 in Birmingham. And I've only seen them about four or five times, all between 98 and 2000. So I was really excited. So we get there. Now, those are stressful if you're not a big artist yet.
Yet.
Which we are not yet, but things seem to be moving that way pretty fast for Morgan. But you get a line check. Now, what a line check is, we got there at 10. We had to dump all of our gear, which is really stressful. Everyone's dumping their gear. Now, the headliners on that stage were like Cage the Elephant.
Yeah, and their backline, their stuff, they set up super early.
So their stuff's already set and pinned and everything. So we're sort of, you know, we're earlier in the day. So we're like pre-setting up our stuff on risers that roll. And I don't know what your feeling was. I thought that was a really professional crew.
Very pro.
Very pro, right?
Yeah, very pro. Obviously, as a, you know, having been a crew guy in my past life, I've done 100 of those things, you know, early in the morning, stuff like that.
That stage manager had it down.
And oftentimes when a stage manager comes across as a little intimidating and a little impatient, usually he's going to be kick-ass.
That's good. Yeah.
Very good.
You don't want a nice guy.
You don't want a super nice guy. I mean, there are guys that have that balance that can do both, you know, and it's great. But man, they were super pro. I was very, very impressed.
Well, you have to be able to delegate too, because that shit runs on a really strict schedule.
Yeah.
And you're having to solve a lot of kind of unique problems. We advance them our stage plot. So they have an idea, but they're dealing with how many stage plots a day? 10?
Yeah, each stage probably.
So, you know, they have an idea of what to expect, but when we're actually on site, they're like, all right, what is it? What do you have? And then like getting everything on the deck, getting it set up. I did like some of the stuff he was saying to like the kind of local, like the local stagehands are the guys that really are kind of doing all the hard work, like the moving stuff.
Totally.
And they can also be kind of, you know, they like to smoke pot and, you know, they're like stoner musician types, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
They need some motivation a little bit, I notice sometimes. Not all of them. It's not always the case. But
of course. There's always one or two guys on a local crew that's like, hey man, what am I pushing?
Exactly. Yeah. And the stage manager, I was watching that guy in particular have like very little patience for that.
Yeah.
He's like, why is he moving that kick drum by himself?
Yeah, exactly.
Like shit like that.
Oh yeah.
So we got everything set up and then we basically just got to sit in our trailer for a minute. And then we had 30 minutes after the band before us got done to basically wheel all of our shit out that we pre-set up on risers.
Get the previous band stuff off stage.
Previous band's got to get all their shit off. We have to wheel everything up, mic it up because nothing's mic'd.
Yeah.
And then we have to do a line check a monitor check of all of our stuff, which
it's essentially a very fast sound check.
It's like sound, yeah, exactly. And you don't really get to run a song or anything. You're just basically make sure you can hear everything.
Exactly. And but, you know, what's nice about a pro festival like this is, like, those audio guys have their shit down.
Yeah.
And even just, like, getting the previous band stuff off stage. I mean, they've hit their last note. All their shit was off stage within maybe 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's professional.
Yeah.
This is as quick as you can say it. And everything went well, you know, the good crew. We got our line check. We played our show. We were, like, right in the sun, like 12:45, yeah, 1 p.m.
It was warm.
And we had some of our Sony brass out there. It was a little nerve-wracking.
A little bit.
Our Gibson rep was there. Heather was there. And I actually had several friends there that I didn't even know were there. I was just getting texts. I was like,
yeah, same.
Whoa, I didn't know they were there.
I always, whenever that situation happens, after we walk off stage, I get texts of pictures of myself.
Right.
To let me know. Or
which,
like,
you love.
I love. Or it's like me on the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
Like, there you are. I'm like, oh, yeah. So cool. You're here, is what you're saying.
Even when we got there and we're meeting, like, I remember meeting the head of hospitality, who was Julian. Mm-hmm. He was a guy that, like, got us in our trailer. He's like, whatever you need. He's that guy.
Yeah.
You just tell me whatever you need. I was like, well, here's what I need.
Cocaine, heroin, black tar.
Well, here's what my cocaine, heroin, and black tar are. The David Matthews Band.
Yes.
So here's what I told Julian. He's like, whatever you need, dude. I said, hey, man, this is what I need. What can you do for me to get me as close as possible to this Dave set tonight? And he's like, dude, he's like, well, I know that, like, as a crew, as a team in a camp, they're super locked down. Two of their members just got over COVID.
Right.
And they almost, like, you know, that's like big money for these guys to miss their shows.
Of course, yeah.
They, of course, don't want to miss them because they love their fans and they love playing music. Mm-hmm. They're millionaires. They don't need the money. But as a business, they don't need to be canceling these shows.
Of course, yeah.
It's a huge, huge money thing. So he's like, but there's a VIP area and you guys can just watch the whole set from VIP. I don't know what the VIP area is like at this point. So I'm like, hell yeah, I'll take VIP.
Yeah.
We play our show. Show went great, I thought.
Went awesome. Good crowd.
Everyone was in good spirits. Whoever needed to bounce is bouncing. We all decide, our little skeleton crew that was left, that we're basically going to do the distance that day to make it to 6:45
yep.
to see Dave Matthews.
I mean, I told my wife, like, I'm not coming home until probably between 9 and 10.
Same.
You know, so I, like...
Even though, what time do we end up getting home? Like, 1? Midnight or 1?
Well, there was a lot of traffic leaving the festival. It took a bit to get out of there, but it wasn't that late.
So, I don't know if you remember, but, like, I was, like, beginning to get, like, insanely tired. Like, yes. Delusionally tired.
Oh, yeah.
And I was actually kind of worrying me. Some of our people were, like, seeing some of the other bands. What was that band that started with a K? They were so good.
Oh, I can't remember what they're called.
Kamajin? Fuck. It's something impossible to say.
Kraftwerk.
Kaius. It was Kiss, actually.
It was Kiss, yeah.
So some of us are kind of checking that out, but we're on our stage. There's two main stages. We were on whatever, the East stage.
Yeah.
Dave's going to be on the next one. So we're like, well, the Black Pumas were playing before Dave, and we were all very interested in seeing the Black Pumas.
I was about to say, speaking of a jolt of caffeine, man, that band kicked ass.
Well, we were in our trailer having a riveting conversation about the show Friends.
We were.
It was me, you, our drummer Parker, and our hair and makeup stylist Risa.
Yeah.
And Johnny Sword, unfortunately, couldn't stay.
He couldn't stay. He had to make the trek back home.
But we were making a cocktail and I was just getting so tired. I was like, you know what? Pouring booze on this tired thing is not going to work.
Right.
But then I found some Red Bull, thank God.
There you go.
So I started, and then, of course, as we got closer to getting over to that other stage, I started to get a little excited.
Yeah.
Because I've been following the tour. The set lists have been great. Now, they play a little more of a generic set list on festival dates, which is to be expected. But still, 21 years, I don't give a shit.
And keep in mind, too, like we're all tired. But at the same time, like, we're getting treated real well there.
We're being treated well.
Like, I made a phone call and it's like, hey, come pick us up in the golf cart.
We're
not walking.
Basically, anything we needed, they gave us.
Yeah,
they took us, which was really nice. Which was really nice. And we were next to the Jamestown Revival guys, which I know some of those guys. I don't know if you knew those dudes.
I didn't know.
Usually at festivals, you, like, run into your friends,
oh, yeah,
which you did. This is going to tie into the Dave story a little later.
Yeah.
So we all go to the Black Pumas gig. And for the Black Pumas, they wanted everybody wearing masks if you were going to be backstage.
Right.
Which we were all happy to do. So this is the stage that, like, Dave's going to be playing on in about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
We caught maybe the last four songs of Black Pumas.
Yeah, they were great.
And it was really fucking good. You guys really should check them out.
Black Pumas are no joke.
Now, as we're on stage left, this is before you went to stage right.
Yeah.
So we're all four of us, our little crew, and our tour manager and his girlfriend or whatever are kind of hanging around too.
Yeah.
But I don't really, I lose them a little bit in this part of the story.
Yeah.
But the four of us are on stage left. We're watching Black Pumas. We're all kind of like, this is pretty fucking sick. It's starting. I honestly didn't think about this until we were already, had already been standing there. It starts dawning on me that all the gear around us is Dave's gear.
It's all Dave gear. Yeah.
Like the two pedal boards sitting there. I was like, those are the horn players' pedal boards.
Yeah.
Which your response, that was funny. You're like, they have pedal boards?
I don't know. Yeah.
It is weird. I'm just so used to seeing it. But
sure, sure.
Yeah. They have like, I don't even know what they do. They don't play crazy sounds.
I mean, like, I was in a band with horn players and nobody ever had a pedal.
They have like delay pedals and like whammy pedals.
I mean, that's
shit.
Great. That's awesome.
But now that I think about it, I wouldn't be able to identify what those are. But anyway, at some point, you and Parker go to stage right.
Well, Parker was over there and came back and he's like, hey, it's pretty chill over there.
Okay.
And
because where we were, there were maybe 15 people.
And I think you were already kind of talking to somebody, maybe.
So I talked to, so
was it the horn tech or something?
No, I talked to Dave's stage manager.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I was taking pictures of some of the gear because I'm a fucking nerd, and the excitement in me was like really starting to well up.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, what if we can watch the whole show from right here?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know where we were gonna. The VIP area ended up being kind of shitty. It was like. It was basically just GA.
But off to the side.
But off to the side, and it was still packed because it's Dave Matthews Band.
I mean, it wasn't like shoulder to shoulder, but it was like the plus side was it's you're not shoulder to shoulder cramped in there. There were these like shipping containers that were like open. They had like a bar in each one. So that was all free, which was nice.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, you know, keep the cocktail train going, but that was about it, you know.
Well, so you guys had gone over to stage right. Me and Risa are still stage left. And you texted me and said, hey, all of Dave's guitars are over here. You should check this out.
Yeah.
I immediately am like, off to stage right we go.
Yeah.
So now this is a huge stage. I'm setting this. I know you know that. I'm setting this up for listeners. Huge stage. So when we're exiting stage left, we're kind of going, there was a huge staircase that went up to the deck from like where all the buses were.
Yeah.
As me and Risa are moving our way back there, the man himself is walking up those stairs. And I recognize the guy behind him is his vocal coach, Rab.
We're talking about Dave Matthews, by the way.
Dave Matthews, the man.
He's the man.
And I'm going, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. Like, Parker is a Dave fan. You were excited to see the show.
Heck yeah.
Risa was kind of, like, nominally excited to see the show.
She was supportive.
So, no one cared. No one, like, would have cared. If Dave walked by any of you guys would have been like, oh, that's cool. There's Dave.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, it was, like, taking me back to 13 or whatever.
Yeah, it's like when I saw James in the airport.
Exactly. So I'm going, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. I'm like, Risa, stop, 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 stop. She's like, what?
And
I'm
cool,
like,
be cool,
I'm
be
like,
cool.
Exactly. I was like that. I was like, that's Dave right there. And Rab, his vocal coach, walked by and I gave him one. You know how do you do this in the industry? If you behave as if you belong, you belong.
No problem. Yeah.
So I didn't give Rab the, I'm a huge fan look. I gave him the, what's up, man? Like,
hey, man.
And I could tell he gave me the look back of like, he might be somebody that's not like a crazy fan.
Right. Exactly. Even though you,
well,
we all know. Little,
well, he found out about 10 seconds later, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing my show clothes and a mask and sunglasses, and I looked cool. So yeah. I looked like a musician guy.
Sure.
So I think I kind of got away with it for a second. Here's the problem. They went and stood where me and Risa formerly were just standing.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, well, we got to go back over there. How do we pull off? We were clearly leaving that area.
Yeah, yeah.
They enter that area, and I'm like, we're going back. I'm not going back.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite pull that part off. She was like, he definitely saw you come back. Talking about Rab, who I think kind of doubles a little bit of a security.
Sure, yeah.
Dave's just watching the Black Pumas, vibing, which I thought was really cool.
Very cool.
He was like excited. You could tell he was kind of excited to check it out. Hell kind yeah. of exactly like we were.
Right, exactly.
Because I will say that band, Black Pumas, was kind of undeniable.
Yeah, 100%. Man.
Like, could you imagine someone seeing that and being like, this sucks? Like, it was kind of undeniably awesome.
If somebody around me said, man, this sucks, I would have kicked them off the stage.
It was like, how do you describe it? It was like a smooth, it
soulful.
Was like a, it was like a party, but it was deep.
There was deep stuff, funky stuff.
But it wasn't like vapid party dancing. It was like kind of deep. You could just kind of feel like you were kind of having a thing. It felt like a thing.
It really did. Check them out. Their music's great. Really, really good.
And I can say, man, I mean, Dave's really into that shit.
Yeah.
He's super musical. He's super into that. I think he chases that. I think that's what he tries to make,
yeah,
you know?
For sure.
He can kind of be like a goofy white guy, and that's what happens. So, but I know he was responding to that the same way we were. So anyway, we go stand over there, and I'm doing the thing where I'm like pretending to watch the Black Pumas, although I'm clearly, all you can hear in my head right now is shh.
And you're a little, we'll call it the Dave Dar. A little beep.
Beep, beep. Yeah, I can. I know beep, he's near. Beep, beep, I'm like trying beep, to look at my peripheral. But I'm on some like, you know, I'm on an empty beach.
Yeah.
And like Black Pumas are like a radio station way far away.
Yeah. Totally. I get it, man.
And Reese is like, the Rob guy keeps looking at you. Yeah, I think he's like,
he's on to you.
He knows you're like a fan or something.
I'm what like, if he fuck. Was like, oh my God, it's Clint Wells.
Well,
what do I do?
And he listens to the show. I would say next time, Rab, come approach me. I'm very approachable.
Very approachable, yeah. Even if he has sunglasses on.
Now, would I have taken a picture with you? No. Would I have signed an autograph with you? No. Would I have given you the complimentary handshake that Ethan got from James Hetfield? No. But I'm very approachable.
Very.
Would I have had you removed? Yes. But again, super approachable.
It sounds approachable.
Okay.
And reasonable.
So here's my next plan. So now I'm making plans.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go stand right by those stairs because he's got to go down the same way he came up.
Yeah.
And I know he's not going to just stand here until he plays later. He came up to watch a song.
Yeah.
He'll be exiting. And then that's when I'll be making my move. What's my move going to be at this point? I don't know.
But a move is going to happen.
So at this point, we're like talking. It's almost like pretending to talk because I'm not.
Yeah.
It's hard to have a real conversation. At this point, you guys are walking over and you're like, what's the deal? I thought you were going to come look at the guitars. And I'm like, something has occurred.
You're like,
we have a situation.
The situation is unfolded.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
things are awry.
Things have happened.
Main stage.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys come into our little circle, and I'm telling you guys what I'm like. Right over there is Dave Matthews.
The man's over there.
Here's what I'm going to do. You know, and I had this plan. I'm like, someone take a picture. You guys were helping me formulate a plan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Your initial plan seemed a little forceful. Where it was like, okay, so I'm just going to say like, hey, Dave, great show. And then right when I say that, Reese is going to go, hey, let me get a picture. And I was like, that seems to be a little jumpy.
Yeah.
Like a little, just you're diving in
you
the
right.
deep end.
Yeah, you're
don't talk
right.
about pools. Don't talk about pools. That would be a bummer if I was like afraid, like I was afraid of
water. Well, it's almost water. Like my conversation with Dave was a little truncated.
Why do you have to dunk that one on me? Oh my God.
Oh God!
But so me and Parker were kind of helping you guys kind of sort out maybe a little smoother of a plan.
Well, so then he starts coming towards the stairs. He's leaving stage left.
It's happening,
and I'm saying things like that. I'm like, it's funny. You guys are normal, and you guys had just been, and we're all friends. So you guys were just talking amongst yourselves.
Sure.
When he started moving towards us, I was like, everyone, shut up! Everyone, stop what you're doing.
That's when it gets weird. When everyone gets quiet.
I'm like everyone. Now, you know, I don't know what's gonna happen, but it's
silence.
I just want everyone to know that the plan was afoot.
Yeah.
Now here's what happened that we weren't planning for. He turns and starts walking towards stage right where you guys just were.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool. Wasn't planning for that. Okay.
Now what would have been weird is if you followed him over there, basically,
which I didn't.
Right,
didn't. Well, I knew that staying up the stairs was the move because. This, by the way, this all makes me sound like a total psycho. But
also, this also happened in a matter of like 5 to 8 minutes.
Yeah, it happened pretty quick.
Yeah.
So then, this is where a guy you know comes in. A guy walks by.
Yeah.
And I see you hugging him. And I remember,
he's like a big buff security guard.
I remember telling Parker, I was like, Ethan's hugging a guy that clearly works for Dave Matthews' band. This is all good.
This is all good news. And I was really hoping I could make something happen for you. And whatever. It was a security guard that used to work for Kings of Leon.
Yeah.
And I just tapped him on the shoulder, turned around. He was like, dude, what's up? We embraced. And he asked what I was doing there. And I went straight for it. I go, hey man, let me ask you a quick question. I know you're in a hurry. How does Dave feel about taking a photo with a couple people? And he was like, man, it depends on how you approach him about it. He goes, I'll try to come back. I got to go. And he was working. I wasn't going to
keep him,
obviously. Plus, he could, you know, tie me up like a pretzel.
He could tie you up and throw you in the trunk of a car. Dude, how have you never told me you were kidnapped once?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Let me tell you, it's come up a lot. I don't know.
Let me tell you something. I'm not holding out on you in any kind of molestation or kidnapping story.
Sure.
You know it all.
Yeah.
And now our listeners know it all about you.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, we got to have something else to talk about now that I've played the rhyme in, which we'll get to.
Are you tired of hearing my Dave story?
No, not at all. I love reliving this.
So you talk to your security guy. He basically says, hey, it all depends. We'll see. I got to go do something.
Yeah.
What we didn't know was happening. What I have since seen is that he actually did a song with Black Pumas.
Oh,
that's why he was over there. So he went out there and I think he did like a chorus.
Right, right.
And he kind of did his like Dave dance, and
which is cool.
Super cool.
Yeah.
So then I guess he finished that song. Now he's walking towards us again, but from further away, all the way from stage right.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the same thing. It's happening.
Right.
Everyone shut up. Everyone be cool. he walks by, and I will say he had your guy, your security guy, in front of him.
Yeah.
Rab, his vocal coach, is behind him, and he was walking with a deliberate speed.
Time to go.
Head down. It definitely wasn't a stop and chat vibe. Yeah. But I was like, I'm making my move no matter what. I mean, but I had this thing in my head of like, and you know, I am a musician. I know to be brief and get out. I know that. Mm-hmm. I know that he does not want to hear my life story. I know all of this. So sure. I feel like I'm going into it with like a head start.
Yeah.
But I did have this thing in my head that like felt like almost important for me to tell him, more for me than him, of like, I played on this other stage today and like, I do this for a living, and the records that you've made are such a huge reason why I do this.
Yeah.
And I'm just, it means a lot to me. I figured there was a pretty efficient way to land that.
What would you say? At least it didn't crash.
We could crack the door open on Dave Ponds if you want, but we might be here a long time.
That's true.
But
we do have a van call to get to for a show today.
We actually have to leave today. And I'm doing a Metal Tales today. So I did make my move. I didn't say all the things you would say at the end of a movie. I just said, "Hey Dave, have a great show. I'm really looking forward to it." And he stopped and gave me like the Dave eyebrow, and he said, "I really appreciate that. Thank you."
Yeah, he was very courteous.
He was courteous, and then he split. I think he was relieved that I wasn't a psycho. Although little does he know, I have his underwear on right now. and then he went away. Okay, so then that was my moment with Dave. All yeah. right, when I say I met him, that's what it was.
But dude, you got to say something to him. That's cool.
I did, and I do think it's cool.
Let me ask you this real quick before we move on, and we can make this brief. I'm curious to know what your reaction would be if, when I texted you, "Hey, Dave's guitars are over here." Mm-hmm. What would your reaction be if I never came back to meet you in Risa, and then all of a sudden I come back over and I'm like, I got a picture with Dave Matthews of me and Parker. Would you kill me? And there was like another way where he went back to his buses. You never saw him.
I would be upset about that. Yeah. I'd be happy for you, but like, upset that I didn't get to do it.
It would have had to have happened so fast where I didn't have time to like get over here now. You know,
it's similar to like when we first started getting back on the road this summer and flying, I hadn't updated my TCA.
TCA pre.
Pre.
Yeah.
And Parker had, because he's a thoughtful guy. And he got in the TSA pre-line while I was in the like general line. And he was just sort of looking at me. He wasn't gloating, but I did tell him. I was like, I hate that you're in that line and I'm not.
There was one morning where both me and Parker were.
And I was probably telling you the same thing, where I was like, I don't like this.
I hate those fucking guys.
Not you guys. I just don't like anything about the sitch.
I hear you.
If I can't have the nice thing, I don't like that. Yeah. What am I going to sit there and be miserable and be like, well, at least they have a nice thing. I'm dishonest about it, dude.
Why can't we all have a nice thing together?
If you'd have been like, hey, dude, look at this, a picture of me with Dave, knowing that you don't care as much, I would have not liked that. But I wouldn't have been mad at you. Get yours, baby.
I love it.
It'd be my own damn fault. Yeah. But anyway, so then we do find out, hey, they're going to clear the backstage. No one can watch from back
right,
here.
Right, exactly.
So we're like, fuck, let's just make our way to VIP. So we go to the, we go right around the stage. We're like right on the stage, and the guy's going to open the gate to the VIP. Here's the way also to get away with anything at festivals like this. Just treat all the security people like human beings.
Yes.
Like I went up to the two guys and we immediately were joking and I was asking them questions about themselves. And when it came time to like, what do you guys need? I looked at the press area, like which is
in front of the barricade.
It's right in front of the barricade. So it's in front of the barricades. It's this thin row. Basically in front of front first row.
Oh yeah.
And then there's a stage. I looked across that thing and I said, I showed him our like our VIP, whatever.
We had our
artist wristbands. And I said, can we watch the show from the press pit? And the guy was like, absolutely, go on. So we start walking over there and I walk literally right in front of Dave Matthews' microphone.
Yes.
And I don't know if you can remember like what I looked like, but I felt like I was kind of in shock.
Oh no, I was just soaking it in. I mean, I watched you, man. You were, Clint immediately started talking, because there's nothing but diehards on the rail, of course. Just like Metallica show.
Yeah.
Nothing but diehards. Clint is immediately geeking out with them.
Well, because I don't have anyone to talk to really about that, and I knew that those are my people.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, how many shows have you been to? One guy was 150.
Jeez.
This other chick was 80. One guy, it was like 45, but it was his son's first show who was 5. His kid's on the rail. And you know, kind of like we were joking that day where I was like, what if I told you they opened with Pig on like night 2 at Deer Creek? These people know what that means.
Right, exactly.
So I could be like, what do you guys think they're going to open with? Like, because Dave plays a different set every night.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, they sound checked with Pig and 41. And I was like, they sound checked with Pig? And I'm asking them, I'm like, if they sound check with it, does that mean he's going to play it? They're like, not every time.
Right.
We'll see. So I'm having those kinds of conversations. Like,
sure.
there's this thing called the D&B Couch Tour where someone always streams the show for people on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
So the guy doing the official D&B Couch stream was the guy right in front of me.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
And like, he was like, hey, say something to the D&B Couch Tour.
Oh, so I
was
that's
like,
cool.
Hey, everyone. I'm like, huge fan. I played today.
Did you promote the show at least?
Check out Metal Beer Podcast. Yeah, everyone.
We actually talk about Dave Matthews sometimes.
So anyway, the buzz was incredible. And it was maybe 30 minutes till the show. And I kept being like, this is too good to be true. They're going to kick us out any minute. Yeah. And everyone kind of kept being like, I don't think so, dude.
Back of my mind, I thought, if we're going to get kicked out, it's going to be after the third song. Because that's usually, if you don't know, at general festivals, if you have a press pass and you're in the photo pit or front of the barricade where we were, you usually only get three songs to shoot. And then it's time to go.
And just long story short, he came out. It was magical. It was so great seeing him up close. About 3 or 4 songs in, they kicked us out. Yeah. Now, we ended up in another VIP area that we actually weren't supposed to be in.
We were not?
No.
Oh, those ones that the people like paid good money for?
Yes.
Awesome.
I just started talking to the security guard, and Risa, who was with us, she had to use the restroom, and they had these restrooms back there, private ones. And I just basically talked her into letting us get back there.
Listen, if you're at a festival, even if there are areas you can't go, even with an artist wristband or whatever, it's all about confidence.
If you act like you belong, you belong. And, you know, then you got there. And I actually liked that portion of it. It took me a few songs to get over the disappointment of being kicked out of the front area. Yeah. But after that, when we got in that VIP, it was an open bar. You and I had played 2 great shows that weekend. The Metal Up Your Podcast party had gone off well. I got to say hi to Dave. I did enjoy that part where we just got to watch the show together. Because it was your first concert. You know, like that Watchtower moment when he ended with Watchtower.
Incredible.
Which I was a treat.
Incredible.
You know? And so that was fun. And then I know like the next day you were like kind of on a little bit of a Dave kick, which makes me excited.
Dude, the next day I was sorting out all my gear insurance at home, which if any musicians out there, A, insure your gear.
Yeah.
But it's a long process if you have a lot of shit you've collected over the years. It took me I had to enter everything in manually. It took me probably 4 hours to do that entire 4 hours. Listen to Dave Matthews.
I love it, dude.
And I listened to his most recent record.
Yeah, Come Tomorrow.
Yeah, which you and I talked about. And you told me that a lot of Dave diehards don't really like it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I'm the same.
I thought the first track on the record, what's it called again?
The first track is called Samurai Cop.
I think that's one of his best songs. I mean, it was beautiful. I love
the song too. About like his kids being born?
I guess so. I don't know. I only listened to that one time. But yeah, I thought it was great. But yeah, man. And every time my wife would, because where my studio is at HQ1, it kind of connects to our kitchen. But anytime she would come by the kitchen to get a snack or water or something, she's like, still listening to D&B down there? I'm like, you know it.
Yeah, baby.
It was awesome.
Well, so it was a great night. It meant a lot to me. And I've been honestly having a pretty tough time personally. And like, I just needed it. It was like a shot in the arm. It was like, it reminded me what joy felt like.
Yeah.
It wasn't like,
it was very disconnecting from, you know, the realities of what's going on in our lives. It was nice just to forget about all that and just enjoy a show.
Yeah, and it's stuff I loved as a kid, and it's like all these years later, it was still as powerful, and it still took me to that place. It still took me to a magical place.
Yeah.
And it reminded me that I've been wondering if I'm incapable of feeling that anymore. And that's really scary.
Have some faith, man.
So, well, that night, Dave shared some of that with me.
He did.
And you all did, too. Like, getting to share that with my friends was so great. So
there's a bunch of share blobs or faith blobs out there.
In little jars.
Little jars,
little tongues.
Yeah, they were complimentary.
So that was that night. The next day was when we got to see Avi. We got to hang out with Avi, right?
Yeah, we went to a little local place in my neighborhood and met up with Avi and his fiancée, Danny, who they're both just the sweetie pies of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great time. A couple of your buds happened to be there. We all kind of combined forces that night and had great convos about all sorts of things.
Yeah, that was awesome. He was in town because he played a show Thursday that you ended up going to.
Yeah, last night as we were talking.
And but they got here early because they love Nashville.
Yeah, and I think Danny had been here before, his fiancée, but they wanted to see some other stuff.
Yeah.
They had a blast, man.
Yeah, and so it was good to spend time with them. If I can only choose one, I'm glad I got to do the hang.
Right.
Rather than see them play. Although I would love to see, I love their band.
Dude, they were great live. We'll get to that.
Okay.
But I ended up meeting up with Avi again the day of the Ryman show at another little place called Vinyl Tap, which is a great little bar and vinyl store near me. And it was a quick, maybe hour and a half hang, you know.
Well, so Tuesday started as a normal day.
Like any other.
And we get a text from, we're on a group thread, we get a text from our manager that says, is everyone available to play the Ryman tomorrow? And if and Ethan's usually responds immediately to anything. You know?
I was on my riding mower.
So
when this happened.
Well, what's funny about it is, so everyone's riding. Yes, you know,
right away.
And I'm starting to get some details. I'm like, how long's the set? Like, you know, trying to think about what are we going to do? And then you texted me something different, like about the laminates.
Well, so yeah, from my perspective, as that text was happening, because I think I looked at the timestamp, and it was like 4 minutes later is when I finally responded.
Yeah,
I was just finishing mowing my backyard, and my phone. All of a sudden, I hear in my pocket just ding, 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 just going crazy. I remember thinking like, this better be fucking good and worth it. Well, guess what it was.
Yeah.
So then I see that it's our group text, but the first text I can see is like the most recent. So I don't see the word Ryman. So I see your text. I'm like, let me text Clint, and then I'll check the group thing. And that's when you're like, dude, check the other text.
I said, dude, check your text, man. We just got an offer to play the fucking Ryman, and everyone's waiting on you to confirm.
I was the last one to confirm.
Not that it took a long time, but...
It all happened in the span of 5 minutes.
If it was any other gig, I wouldn't care. But because I was like, holy shit, the Ryman.
Yeah, and this has been a long thing on the podcast, as all of you know.
I don't know if you saw, but I actually texted on your behalf. I said, he's good to go.
Yeah, I texted like seconds after that. I just can't imagine, like, if
I knew you would have canceled whatever it was, if there was something.
I would have been fine if that text had started right when I started mowing the lawn for the next 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I would have expected you to be like, Ethan will be in.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I would have canceled whatever.
So we got that call. I mean, it was such short notice for all of us that even like Morgan's mom found out on social media.
Wow.
And her mom was like giving her shit, like, yeah, thanks for the heads up. It's right. Like, well, we didn't know, you know?
Yeah, we didn't.
And the thing with like Morgan's world is like, she's got whole teams of people that deal with this stuff now. So I think as soon as it was confirmed, they pushed out social media stuff.
Right.
And they've got her doing stuff all day, every day.
Yeah, she's real busy right now.
So that was pretty fun, knowing that was coming down.
It was so surreal, dude. So surreal.
And even if it being like such a historic place to play, and obviously a lot of joking about it on the podcast, like it is like, if you're going to do a hometown show that's not like a Ascend or something, it is like the coolest venue to do it.
Yeah.
So it's a hometown show for us. Our wives got to come. My daughter got to come.
That was the nice thing. It's like, you know, I'm sure one day when, you know, we play it again and Morgan's maybe headlining, we can have a bigger guest list. More friends can come to enjoy that night with us.
Yeah.
But the last minute part about it almost made it more special. Right after, like maybe another 5 minutes after, you know, we were like, hey, we're doing it. I was still a little sweaty from on the lawn, and my wife came home from work. And I was like, you have plans tomorrow night. I'm playing the fucking Ryman finally.
Yeah.
Man, what a special night.
Well, and your first call was to Paul, right?
I texted you that. I said, once this is 100% confirmed, the first person I'm calling is Paul Moak, because as you all know, a couple years ago and at the last Tangent City, he promised he would tech for me. And guess what that dude did?
And he did. He's a man of his word.
Kept his word, man. It was just a special night, dude. I mean, when I first came over here to HQ2, your wife, Isabel, was in the kitchen. As were you making coffee, and we were kind of chatting about the night, and it was just, I won't forget that.
Yeah.
Unless I get Alzheimer's or something, then I'll definitely forget it.
Kidnapped again.
Or if I get kidnapped. I need to take swimming lessons next, and then, but man, it was so special. Like, I haven't had that feeling on stage in quite a while.
Yeah.
I always get a great feeling of playing music with my friends, especially, you know, and so these Morgan shows have been so much fun for me, even if we've had maybe not the best show we can have, but that night was just, I felt we played well. Vocals were great.
Yeah.
Morgan really handled it well and was
awesome.
Charming to the crowd and all that stuff. It was very, to me, it felt like we prepared for it.
How do you think Ethan Wells feels about the show?
So here's one thing that happened. Do we talk about this?
Yeah, we talk about it. It's awesome.
So Morgan usually during the set will be like, y'all get over from my band. The crowd goes wild, of course.
Of course they do. We hear a lot of chants of like, is that a sock in your pants? Take off your shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Is that an armadillo in your trousers? That's Spinal Tap reference, everybody. Yeah. So she decides to do that, but she said, you know, I'm going to introduce these guys individually because I don't normally do that. And she starts with me. She's like, over here on guitar, Ethan Wells.
And we're like, well.
She said it with confidence too.
We're like, is she joking? Because Morgan's a big ball buster and a big jokester.
Yeah.
So then she ended up doing the rest of the band, and it was pretty clear that she wasn't joking, because when she got to me,
yep,
which I know that she knows my name, but when she got to me, I think she was confused that she had already mentioned Wells, so she called me Mr. Clint.
Mr. Clint. It was funny. And
even my daughter's friends don't call me Mr. Clint. My daughter's friends just call me Clint.
I let it ride, though. She did it, and I just kind of stood back. Because the crowd, you know, 99.9% of people in there don't know who I am. So everyone's like,
but they're big Ethan Wells fans.
Ethan Wells, great. And so I just kind of stepped back and just looked at her and gave her this little look like, are you sure about that? And she, and all of a sudden I was like, it's not my last name. And she's like, I'm sorry, I forgot. What is your last name? I'm like, look. And then she called me out in front of everybody. She goes, well, he used to play in a band called Reliant K and a bunch of Christian rock bands.
Yeah, I forgot that. She did say that.
She shamed me. Well, so apparently now the joke is that Ethan Luck still hasn't played the rhyme, but Ethan Wells has.
And by the way, I want to give credit where credit's due, because that is a brilliant twist on things. Because a lot of people were saying an era, you know, it's the ending of an era.
The joke's retired.
And Paul Moak actually brought up, he's like, well, actually, technically, Ethan Luck still hasn't played the rhyme, and Ethan Wells has.
That was also brought up on Discord, so, and I chose to ignore it. So I played, I don't care what you call me, I played, listen, as a, I survived getting put in a trunk to play the Ryman, okay? Jeez. I survived that shit so that I could play the Ryman. You can call me whatever you want. You could call me Al. Baby, you could call me Al.
Dude, while I was driving that fucking van, while everyone else was asleep, which I know you would have been my wingman, but you were with Johnny Sword.
And I didn't fall asleep on him.
So I'm driving. It's 5:30 in the morning. I've been on the road for maybe an hour and a half. Sun not up. Right. Foggy fog town.
Right.
And I was getting kind of delusional. I was like, man, if it had gotten dicey enough, I would have pulled over. I texted you. I was like, hey, I may need you to drive, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But one of the records that I played to kind of get me through it was Graceland, the whole front to bottom.
Amazing.
There's not a bad note on it. Yeah. Like, You Can Call Me Al, which is one of my favorite songs of all time, is buried on that album.
Yeah.
It's like track 10.
And that was a huge hit.
Oh, my God.
When I was a kid, my dad had that on vinyl at one point. When I was a kid, I would ask him, like, can you play the song with Chevy Chase in it?
Yeah.
I thought Chevy Chase was in the band.
Right.
When I was that age.
That was a big video.
I wasn't playing. I didn't play guitar yet at that point. This is, we still live in Long Beach. I was probably 9 years old, 10 years old maybe.
But man, like, the song Graceland, the lyrics of that song, it's almost as good as it gets, dude.
Yeah, man, for sure.
In the second verse, he says, she comes back to tell me that she's gone, as if I didn't know that, as if I didn't know my own bed. As if I never noticed the way she brushed her hair from her forehead. And then he says, she says, losing love is like a window in your heart. Everybody can see that it's blown apart and everybody feels the wind blow.
Beautiful.
Woo!
Woo!
All right. Man. So anyway, back to the rhyme. And so the gig went great. The name thing was funny, blah, blah, blah.
It made for
of
a
course,
fun
of course,
comment.
That door has closed. You have officially played the rhyme. And not only did you officially play it, you were great. Paul upheld his end of the deal. A good friend of yours came and shot photos. He did an amazing job.
Yeah, great.
All of our label brass was there. Everyone was happy. Morgan crushed it. I mean, it was a magical night.
For such short notice, I mean, we all killed it, man. We all showed up and delivered. And I'm really proud of that. And the crowd was into it. And let's not forget to shout out everyone in Lucero's camp.
Great camp.
A fucking kick-ass band, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah,
you've never really heard much of them.
I texted you. I went out and watched their last three songs, and you were stayed in the dressing room talking to our tour manager.
Yeah.
And I think I texted you from the deck. I was like, this band is awesome.
Yeah.
I will be listening to this band.
Yeah.
And we met all of them. They all stopped by the dressing room at various points. We met their tour manager. So sweet, so great. Accommodating.
Everyone's super organized.
Because we're about to go on the road with them for 2 months.
That's the thing. We got to get to know them. But I thought it was cool, though, that, like, and listen, I've toured with those guys before. I went on Warped Tour, and I hung out them a lot out in this little, they used to set up this area called Camp Lucero. They had the two Easy Up tents and some speakers for music and stuff, and got to know those dudes pretty well. They're super nice dudes, and I got reacquainted with them that day at the Ryman as they were sound checking. But it was just cool that, like, even at the end of the night, me and Clint stayed. Everyone left.
Yeah, we stayed late.
We stayed to the point where Lucero was fully loaded out, trailer closed, and we were still in the dressing room. And then Ben, their singer, stopped by on his way out. And it was just like, you and I were soaking it up. But it was cool that Ben stopped by, our guitar player stopped by. It was just like,
yeah,
they're all the, you know, it's a family. We have to make it a family on this thing. We're all going to be traveling together.
I'm so excited. I mean, you know, we're playing tonight and tomorrow with them also, but their festivals. But it does kind of feel almost like the tour started at the Ryman.
It really does, yeah.
And I can't wait to get our laminates. You made the laminates. You designed some tour posters.
Yeah, man.
Morgan and I did radio. Yes, I mean, like, dude,
it's been a busy week.
It's been crazy.
I mean, you know, the other night I foolishly looked at Clint and, before we went on and said, man, we still haven't figured an episode for Monday.
Oh, boy.
And then Clint goes, let's not even talk about that. And I said, you're right. Let's not talk about that. So we didn't, right?
But then
Clint had a good idea. Like, you know, he texted me last night, like, hey, how about you just come over and we just talk about our week?
Yeah.
Because, you know, our listeners had a great party, a great show, Metallica show. We had a whole separate great week, so we wanted to talk about all of it.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. And we've procured, we give a shout out to Shure, who make great microphones.
Yeah, man.
They're sending us a couple of awesome, like, they're microphones similar to one I have in my studio. It's actually similar to the one James Hetfield used for his vocals. They're sending us two of those that are like designed for podcasting.
Yeah, the MV7X.
That we're going to be using on the road. And
thank you to Shure.
And thank you to Shure. I mean,
I'm using a Shure mic right now.
We use those microphones. That's the thing about endorsements,
exclusively.
Man. Like, I think that if, and we never did this on the podcast, we did Tone Tubby, but we use Tone Tubby. I still have that cabinet and I use it. And I would never shout out anything I didn't think was fucking awesome.
Exactly.
So the fact that like we have Shure microphones right now
I'm speaking into a Beta 58 right now.
In fact, the way the Shure thing happened is I was actually on my way to Guitar Center to purchase them.
And I have a contact at Shure.
And reached out. And
I said, look, I haven't talked to him in a bit. Let me reach out and see what's up just to see. And it was perfect timing. He's like, hey man, we're looking for, you know, content creators, which is what you guys do. So let's maybe work together.
I'm super stoked about that. So shout out to them. We're going to be, all that to say, we will be doing weekly regular podcasting while on the road. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. We'll see.
It will be us talking. I can guarantee that.
I guess it'll look really similar to what's happening right now. I guess I meant in terms of content.
We'll see. Yeah. It's going to be tough to do like a deep cut dive. We probably won't be able to do those, you know, because we have to plug an extra guitar, blah, blah, blah. But who knows? Maybe we can do it at a venue. I don't know. Honey, please. Got some cool giveaway stuff to talk about. Not yet, but in the future, some cool stuff that we're going to be giving you out to you people to keep it healthy. Let me hint that.
Are we getting several of those to give away?
We're getting four, two to give away and one for each of us.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and of course, we're giving away the deluxe box set. We still need to figure out the details of how we're going to do that, but we have one. It's sitting right over there.
I can see it from here.
And we need to be digging into the blacklist too and all that stuff. We got a lot to do. There's a lot of work to do.
It is.
We really appreciate everyone who stays on the ride with us. We really love you guys so much. Dude, looking at this Goodnight Texas hat that you brought me. Oh, because then you got to go see Avi play.
Oh, right. I didn't talk about that. I mean, I wasn't there for very long just because I had to get up early and stuff like that. But
and Avi and Danny came to the Ryman gig.
And they came to the Ryman gig.
How fucking cool
is
that?
They loved it. We talked about that a little bit last night. They loved it. Danny was like, I'm so glad to see a show there. You guys sounded amazing.
That is so awesome, dude.
I was like, tell me more. Tell me more.
But really, what about me?
What about me? More of that. But dude, I got to say, check Goodnight Texas's tour dates. There's not a ton of them right now. There's like maybe six or seven of them.
They're doing East Coast stuff.
Yeah. They kick ass live. It was so fun. It was like watching somebody like score a soundtrack live. Every song they're switching instruments.
Oh, really?
It's fucking awesome. Like they literally, and it's not like Avi brings a mandolin and his acoustic and his electric. They all like share it.
They're also fucking talented.
Dude, their homeboy on pedal steel, real good.
Really?
He played that. He played a Jazzmaster and a Gretsch baritone.
Mm.
Dude, they're all insanely talented dudes.
And great songs.
Great songs. Harmony sounded great live. They were super tight. Please go see Goodnight Texas. I can't.
That band needs to take off, man. Because
I know, man.
They're so good, and Avi is such a good hang. Like
great hang.
And you know, we did not talk about Metallica at all. Like, yep. I mean, when we hung, it was like, I mean, we talked a little bit about it in terms of him touring with Goodnight Texas and kind of like the bubble sitch of like keeping everybody safe.
Yeah.
But dude, that was honestly one of the last things I wanted to talk to him about.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm just glad that we were able to like finally meet him in person, and because we've all been buds since we hooked up.
The only Metallica thing that came up last night was I told him I wish he would have played Of Wolf and Man.
Oh yeah, I thought they were playing.
They hadn't played it. Yeah, he said they were supposed to have like a longer rehearsal and they didn't, so they want to get it tighter first, I guess, something like that. But I will say this, we can end on something like this, but it was funny. He was staying back at the venue to kind of keep an eye on gear and help out with merch and stuff, and the rest of the band went to go get some food and bring him back something.
Mm-hmm.
And the other main singer in the band, I can't remember his name, unfortunately, I'm sorry. Avi introduced, oh, this is Ethan, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, are you one of the guys that does the podcast where they reference where everyone's from New Jersey? I was like, that's us, man. I said, are you from real New Jersey? He goes, I am.
Oh, that's right. He's from Jersey.
Yeah, he's from real New Jersey.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
dude.
It was pretty cool. So,
well, I mean, this was like one of the weeks for the books for me.
Gosh, yeah.
And we, you know, we've
and just, we haven't even begun yet, really. Like,
we've only just begun. Well, listen, thanks to all the Melody Podcast people out there. We're really grateful for you guys. It's a testament, these emails, hearing all your stories, hearing about the party, you know, seeing all the comments about you with the Ryman, you know, like everyone.
We live streamed it. If you want to watch it, you can go to our Instagram page and it's still there.
You can hear a lot of Ethan's amp. That's what you want to hear.
That's the only downside is that it was on my side of the stage, so it's a lot of my amp.
Maybe if you want to see the show, maybe go. It's all on YouTube.
Actually, yeah, do that on YouTube, yeah. And some of those sound pretty good for phones.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I guess we just live in the age where everything we do forever now is going to be on the fucking internet.
It will be. I felt that was appropriate to live stream, though. It's. So many of our listeners are like, oh my God, how do we watch this like live? You know, yeah. So I was like, fuck it.
I think live streaming is fucking cool.
And the best was Paul ended the live stream.
I think we'll maybe do more of that on the road. Who knows? And you can find Morgan's tour dates, morganway.com, morganwaymusic.com. And we're going to put them on our socials. You know, we'd love for anyone to come check it out if they can.
Absolutely.
So, having said that, we have a van call to get to.
Real soon. I got to run a couple errands and get home and finish packing and see you at my house in like 2 hours.
All right. We love you guys. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your families. Peace.
Adios.
If you were our advisor, what would you say? Then I would say, delete that.